about y'all, but my heart is full of joy and adoration and worship. What a magnificent God we have, right? Who became flesh and made a way for us to go to heaven. Some of them high notes I didn't even try because I knew I had to preach. But turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. What child is this? Let's begin reading in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Now, you got to understand, this prophecy was given 700 years before Christ was ever born. It's one of the great prophecies in the Old Testament dealing with our Lord. So let's stand in honor of God's word, let you stand some more. And we're going to be reading in verse 6 and 7, two verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now it's interesting here. Right here, the Holy Spirit skips from the incarnation to the millennial reign of Christ. And he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, remember the Davidic covenant, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Now listen to these words. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Perform this. The Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, I pray that as we open this text, though brief today, that you speak to our hearts, that our hearts might rise up in abundant worship and overflowing joy of who we serve and who saved us. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. It's sad to say that most of the people in the world do not know who Jesus Christ is. I think y'all would affirm that. You can observe that if you watch the news or you read the paper or if you go about. They have no idea who Jesus Christ truly is. They have no idea what Christmas is all about. And they don't have no idea what we celebrate and who we serve and what it's all about. But Isaiah here, the prophet, leaves us no doubt as to the identity of this child who would be born. 700 years before the incarnation, when God became flesh, he tells us, it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, we see this prophecy of Emmanuel's coming. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I thought about that thought this week. God with us, right, at the incarnation. God for us at the cross where he died in our place. God in us at Pentecost and subsequent to that, when every believer confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. So God in us, and then God through us. God right now is working through our lives to touch other people. And guess what? It's all going to come back to God with us. One day we're going to be with him in heaven. Amen? So as we look at this, we're going to answer this question. What child is this? Number one, he is the grace of God. Notice verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Now notice that phrase there. It's repeated twice in the text. Unto us. Now you can put your name there if you want to. Unto Ken. Unto Inez. Unto John. Unto Keith. Unto us is born. Notice what it says in verse 6. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, he shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God knew we needed a Savior, right? See, we overlooked that part. It is our sin that separates us from a holy God. And we're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell if we don't know Jesus Christ is take our sins upon him and take his righteousness, right? He died for us, right? Unto us a son is given. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Why did I say He is God's grace, because that's what we deserve. I mean, that's what we don't deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. We deserve justice. But God gave us what we didn't deserve. He gave us grace in the form of God incarnate in a manger, right? We needed a Savior. See, there's a lot of people today that wanted to worship the Jesus that's a good teacher, worship the Jesus that was a good man, worship the Jesus that was a prophet. No, Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, and we can't get over that. And so not only do we have he is the grace of God, who is this child? Secondly, in verse 6, he is the glory of God. Notice verse 6, for unto us a child is born, what? Unto us a son is given. Isaiah calls this baby a child, and he calls him a son. The word child speaks of his humanity. The word son speaks of his deity. He is the God-man. He is God who became flesh to identify with us so that he could redeem us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, in Isaiah, we're told that a virgin will. There's two Hebrew words for virgin. One can mean a young maiden. The other one means a virgin. And so Matthew tells us that this was going to be a sign, not just any young maiden in Israel, but this would be the sign, a virgin, right? This would be done. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Don't miss that in Christmas, folks. It's not about the parades. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the trees. It's not about the food. It's not about the ornaments. All those things are nice in their place, but it's all about God coming to be with us, right? Which being interpreted as God with us. So what child it is? What child is this? He is the grace of God. He is the glory of God. And then thirdly, he is the greatness of God. Pick up with me again in the latter part of verse 6, and we'll go through verse 7. Again, the Holy Spirit skips from the incarnation in verse 6, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, what is that talking about? Well, right now, we're in the kingdom rule where he lives within us. He's the Lord of the church, but not all people are going to serve him. But one day there is a literal kingdom coming for 1,000 years that he promised all the David and Abraham and all the Jews. He's going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It is a millennial reign is what he's talking about. And this is the government he's talking about. I don't know about you, but I'm about sick of corrupt government. Amen? I'm telling you, everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, you can't trust nobody, right? And if you think this certain party has your best interest for you, you're being wrongly deceived. We know the other party doesn't have our best interest, right? So it's just a corrupt world of judges and laws and politics. And, you know, it's don't ever fall into the trap that a new kind of president or a new kind of Congress is going to brush her in. A new world. It's not going to happen until Jesus comes, right? But this is the government he's talking about here. And it's going to be a perfect, righteous government. Yeah, you won't hear what you hear. In the millennial reign, you know, there won't be no yeah buts. I mean, no, it'll be over with, right? He'll just speak the word. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the greatness of God. So he skips all the way to the millennial reign. Now, Isaiah here tells us he has a name. In fact, he goes on to list several names there in verse 6 and verse 7. And at least one Bible scholar said that there's at least 256 names for Christ, the Lord, in the Bible. And they all pertain to a person and a particular person and work of his character and his work. Now, I only have one name, right? Now, I have other names when Faye gets mad at me, but I only have one name, right? And you know me. That's Kenneth. That's Ken. That's Kenny. Whatever you want to call me. But one name won't do Christ justice, right? He has over 256 names that are listed in the Bible. Look at it again in verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to talk about the promise that he's going to establish his millennial kingdom. Now let's consider these names that verse 6 gives us here. Wonderful Counselor. That was in our cantata, wasn't it? Wonderful Counselor. The word means supernatural, secret, and extraordinary. He would have great wisdom and prudence. Counselor, the word means to advise, to counsel, to purpose, and devise a plan. See, this is the one we go to with our problems, right? Because he's higher than any other human authority. He's higher than your pastor. He gives perfect advice, right? And guess what? It's contained in his word. So the word means to advise, counsel, purpose, plan. It refers to his role as leader and guiding and moving our lives about as we are in him, and in him we have our being. Then we see the word Mighty God. Well, I'm also too sick of people following comic book heroes, right? This is your hero. And when I used to go into a lot of homes when I worked in the pest control business, parents would allow their children to put posters up of some of the most ungodly people there is. Those are not the people we want our children and our grandchildren to follow after, right? What the word here mean? What does this word mean, Mighty God? It means he's our hero. He's our warrior. If you have a hero, it better be the Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to the one who is strong and mighty and invincible. He is the powerful warrior. And he will especially be manifested in his second coming in all his glory and all his power. First appearing, he comes to rescue us from the wrath to come, takes his church home with him. 7 years later, he comes again to reign and set up his judgment. And at the Battle of Armageddon, and he ushers in his millennial reign. He alone is worthy to be our hero or our warrior. Well, he's defeated all of our enemies, right? There's not an enemy that God has not defeated. Defeated death, right? By the resurrection, right? He defeated our sin when he died in our place on the cross, right? Sin no longer has any power over us. We've been freed from the penalty of sin, and we're being freed from the power of sin. And one day, praise God, when we get to heaven, we're going to be freed from the presence of sin. But not till we get out of these old corrupt bodies. He's freed us and defeated Satan. Yeah, he's a short leash, yes. He's got a short leash right now, and he's allowed to do some work. But I'm telling you, his ultimate defeat is already written down. I got news for you, okay, as you look at this passage. Don't be discouraged by what you see or hear in this world. Listen, I hate to say it, it's a cliche, but guess what? We win, right? In the end, we win. But God's plan has to be worked out. He's defeated the grave. When we stand at the graveside of one of our loved ones, that's not the end. If they knew Jesus Christ, and we know Jesus Christ, we're going to see him again. And if neither one of us knew Jesus, we're going to see him again, but it's going to be in the opposite place, right? He's defeated the grave. The grave could not hold him. The grave's not going to hold us as well. And best of all, he defeated hell. Folks, he took our wrath upon himself that we might have life. And then Isaiah goes on to call him Everlasting Father. Boy, this is an amazing term right there. The Jews thought they knew that they, all the scriptures, they would know the Messiah when he came, but they missed most of them. They missed this one. They were looking for an earthly deliverer. They were looking for a political deliverer. But he's Everlasting Father. He's the Father of eternity. Everlasting. He is the great I Am, right? The Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Your life is tied to his, and you will never die as long as he lives. And I got news for you. Newsflash, Jesus Christ is eternal. Amen. Yeah. and you are eternal as well. He is our Father. He is our everlasting Father from heaven. He will be our Father forever. And then he's called the Prince of Peace there. He will rule his kingdom in peace. Right now, there's peace in the hearts of those who worship and serve him. There's not peace in the world system that's fallen after the Antichrist, but there's peace in the hearts of his people, right? But one day, he's going to rule in righteous peace in this millennial kingdom. Someone said he is the antitype of all earthly rulers, in the Bible or out of the Bible. There's no one like him, right? Okay, let's say it again. There's no one like him, right? And by the way, you're not going to elect him to be in charge. The Father did that, right? And the Bible says that he is perfect. He will rule in perfect peace and righteousness in his millennial reign. But right now, praise God, we have this opportunity to have peace with God. What is that? It means to be in right relationship with him, right? The enmity of hostility has been broken down by the cross and our repentance and our faith in him, right? We can have peace with God. We can be in union with him. And then there's the peace of God that we as believers have in our life as we follow him in obedience and worship and get to know him. But I want you to notice verse 7 again. Look at that. And of his increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And this is one of the great verses in the Bible that God has not forsaken Israel, right? The millennial reign is for Israel, but we're going to help him do whatever he wants us to do as a church. Notice this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will bring his people back into the land, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Notice four things here quickly and we're gone. His government will be peaceful and prosperous. Man. No matter what our government does, and I got to tell you up front, a lot of good things have happened in the last year, okay? And in contrast to the past 8 years, okay? I think you know who I voted for, okay? But I'm telling you, no matter what is done from here on out for the next 7 years, it will not match what Christ is going to do in his kingdom, right? When he rules. It's going to be peaceful and prosperous. Look in verse 7. He will fulfill the Davidic covenant promise emerging into the eternal kingdom. His rule will be righteous, verse 7. And his rule will be eternal forever. So in these names, we see the person and work of Christ. And just in these two verses, we see the person and work of Christ from his being a babe in a manger all the way to the millennial kingdom and everything he did in between, right? So, you know, how can we hold our head down? Oh, things are not going right in my life. Do you know they could be worse? Right? Things are not going right at work. Things are not going right between me and my wife. Right? I got it going, guys. My wife's going to cook me steak tonight. Amen? Someone said, you must have been a good boy. I am today, you know. She knows it. Look at her swelling up over there with pride over her man. But folks, this is it. We win. Now, some of you ladies are smiling, but you don't know what I know. The Lord is getting me for lying. You know. So, who is this child? Okay, y'all help me. Who is this child? He's the grace of God. He's the glory of God. And he's the greatness of God. And I want to ask you three questions. Do you know him? Amen. Do you love him? Do you serve him? Right? Today, the last Sunday to the last Sunday, is a good day to evaluate your relationship. Next week, we're going to evaluate our service. Okay? Don't you just hate it when the preacher is coughing and gagging and y'all sitting there thinking, man, I want to leave, or either I want to go up there and help him, you know? So I want to ask you those two questions. Do you know him? There's no greater time than Christmas Eve to receive him as Lord and Savior. But first you got to understand you need saving. First you understand that your sin separates you from a holy God. You got to be willing to say, yes, God, I've sinned, and I repent of that sin, and I turn, and I believe in you, that you are God's eternal Son who came and died for my place on the cross. And I ask you to come into my heart and my life and to save me. See, that's what it's all about, right? You can put up all the Christmas trees till kingdom comes, and you can see all the Santa Clauses you want to see, and you can go to all the parades you want to go to see. You can eat all the turkey you can eat. But you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven, right? That's what it's about, okay? All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come forward. We want to give you that opportunity today. Just come, step out and say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, it's not in being good. It's not in, there's no way we, that's why he came. We couldn't be good. Our righteousness is filthy rags, the Bible says. There's only one name that can save you, and that's the name of Jesus. I ask you to come this morning. Maybe you can't come publicly, but maybe you'd like to talk to me after the service. Well, I'll be glad to do that. Maybe you're born again, but your service and your commitment has not been what it ought to be. Today's the day to make that. I don't like New Year's resolution. For the Christian, it's repentance and walking in obedience. Whatever it is you need to do today, the altar's open. Father, what a beautiful cantata by the choir. Doctrinal cantata. A message straight from the Word of God challenging our hearts today. I pray, Father, you do your work, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.